views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. I am joined with my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So for listeners, my name is Steve Kramer, and we are going to start a new theme for the month. For the month of April, we are going to talk about right speech. So words are powerful. I know after last month's show, we talked about hope. I found that I created instances where I could say, I am hopeful. And just by saying those words, I found that I was actualizing this outcome. So words, you know, are very, very powerful. So you think about it when you say, I do. You know, those words, you are, if you're committing yourself to a partner for marriage or to a jury where you're swearing to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, those very words, they create our reality. They have an impact. So we're going to talk about the impact of words and by choosing right speech. I look so forward to it, Dorothy. How about you?
I think it's going to be really interesting, Steve. And I think it may be helpful to for our listeners to foreshadow what's included in right speech, because it's not just the words that we say, it's the thoughts that precede the words, right? The spoken word is the thought made manifest. It's the way in which we make our thoughts available to other people, but it also starts with thoughts. So when we're talking about right speech, we have to be thinking about right thoughts as well, and I'm sure we'll come to that later. Yeah, and of course it includes not speaking, so we're going to be talking about silence as well. So just be prepared that when we talk about right speech, we're not just talking about the words that we say out loud.
Absolutely. It's kind of like, I like to think of speech as our thoughts in clothing, that it's the clothing, it is what gives our thoughts form. I love that. So, Dorothy, both of our organizations are really about establishing group consciousness and group awareness. And what I find interesting in that is that when we are creating harmonious relationships, we first need to understand our part in it, which means taking responsibility. And often that has to do with taking responsibility for our thoughts and our speech. So, you know, if our speech gives form to our thoughts, we've got to really learn to take responsibility, especially if we're going to be creating and building, you know, if we're going to, words create conversations and conversations create action. So I find that you and I have had to really become very mindful of the words we speak in our collaboration between our two organizations. And it's, for me personally, it's been a really wonderful learning experience about the power of words.
I would agree. And let's name our organizations for our listeners, Steve. I am with the School for Esoteric Studies, which provides esoteric discipleship training for persons who want to be involved in world service. And that's made up of meditation, study, and service. And I think that's very related to the mandate of your organization, Steve, which is why we're collaborating.
Absolutely. Spirit Fire is an educational nonprofit, and we have our own meditation practice, the practice of living awareness. And both of us really trying to create a more benevolent world. And certainly, right speech has so much to do with that. Let's talk about what right speech is. What do we actually mean by right speech?
Well, I think there's two perspectives that we can look at this from, Steve. One is the perspective that comes from the Noble Eightfold Path from Buddhism. It's the third of the eight path factors, and it has to do with what you should not do, abstaining from lying, divisive speech, abusive speech, and idle chatter.
Right.
And
so
perhaps do you want to elaborate on that, Steve?
Well, just for the listeners who may not have even heard of the Eightfold Path. So the Eightfold Path is really the pathway out of suffering, right? It is the path toward more peaceful living. So again, both of our organizations talk quite a bit about the spiritual path. So I find it interesting that, there are eight ways in which we can find ourselves sure-footed upon this path. And within that, the Buddha has 10 acts from which we refrain from. And I find it interesting that of those 10 acts, some have to do with the body, some have to do with the mind. But four out of the 10 have to do with speech. So it's obviously quite important.
Well, and I'd like to add that many spiritual traditions talk about what we should not do, what we should not say. But the one of my books, Positive Harmlessness in Practice, purposefully addresses what we should say. What is positive harmlessness in speech? And that's shifting from a focus on my own self-interest to what's best for us all, and from an assertion of my independent being, my right to be myself, to embracing the common good, embracing interdependence. So we need to be thinking not just of what we're not going to say, but also what we do say, which I think we will elaborate more. But let me also, Steve, bring up another perspective, and that is there's what's called a mantra for the new group of world servers. And the last line of that goes, may I fulfill my part in the one work through self-forgetfulness, harmlessness, and right speech. So it's interesting that of the three three practices that are emphasized, one of those is right speech.
Well, and there's so many interesting things just in everything you just said, in that it's the mantra for the new group of world servers. So here again, we have this idea of group, and how do we participate in a group so that we can serve? And again, that the new group of world service is really here to generate goodwill, to create a more peaceful world so that we may all actually get along and create this world around us. So I find it interesting that as well, harmlessness is one of those. And if you think about the four sort of refrains, I know we were looking at the positive from those, but again, you've got all acts that would support group, right, and support cooperation. Telling the truth, which would be the opposite of lying, and speech that's not divisive, meaning speech that will bring people together, right? And the opposite of abusive speech, you'd think of supportive speech. And idle chatter, we all know that doesn't get anybody anywhere. So it's interesting that if you think about it, all three of those, self-forgetfulness, harmlessness, and right speech, all really endeavor to bring people together and to find ways in which we can support each other. And definitely right speech is one of those.
Right. And I think let's just underscore at this point, and we can elaborate on it later, but right speech isn't just about being truthful or factual, in contrast to the fake news that gets talked about a lot. But it's about expressing a positive, a benevolent vision. And that's part of that bringing together that you were talking about, Steve. that right speech ought to give us a feeling of being included. It should generate a feeling of being open, being warm towards the rest of humanity, the rest of our community.
Right. And it's interesting that that takes some training, right, Dorothy?
Yes, exactly.
I mean, you'd think that that would come natural to us, but it's just so interesting. We human beings, you know, that we actually have to talk about this out loud, and we have to talk about it quite regularly, that we've got to look for the good in another, and that we've got to, you know, aspire toward this idea of our speech serving the greater good, serving the greater good.
Mm-hmm. And occurring at the right time. Because I'll just give an example from driving. If I've got somebody, if I'm driving and somebody in the car with me says, "Look out," or turn there, just after I've passed the corner or I've passed the place where I need to do something, that's not helpful at all. It may be accurate that I should have turned there or that I should have stopped or been alert, but to be helpful, it needed to have come earlier. So the whole issue of timing is also really important in terms of right speech.
Right, or also maybe not so emotionally charged. Right. You know, in the way you said it, you can sense how it would sort of throw someone off. And right away, you're almost setting up the need to react right away, as opposed to how do we say it, as opposed to kind of almost barking, turn here. Often I find when there's emotion, there's an emotional component. Words, it can really throw someone, almost make them words manipulative. So, you know, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about that idea of force, of sound as a vibration, and in ways in which we're affected by sound. So we'll be right back after this break.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Want to help reduce the divisiveness in our world? Each year, the School for Esoteric Studies holds a subjective group conference. This year, our focus is on unity in diversity, the science of right human relations. From April till June, we will meditate together, study relevant writings, and share practical strategies for improving how we relate with each other. Join us to help build inclusive communities. Check on our subjective group conference at esotericstudies.net. That's the School for Esoteric Studies at esotericstudies.net.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit spiritfireretreatcenter.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. This whole month, we are going to be talking about right speech. And just before the break, we were talking about sound as a vibration, that when somebody says something to you, for instance, Dorothy was talking about appropriately timed speech and someone saying, turn here, and the effects that that vibration has on you. Could it be jolting, or is there a force behind it? So sound is actually a vibration. And I, Dorothy, you are a bit of a friend of science. So I'd love to hear a bit of your take on sound as a vibration.
Well, I just want to remind our listeners that our physical universe, what quantum physics has confirmed for us is that our physical universe is a gigantic energy field of vibration. We are ourselves light waves, and we can think of sound and light as just being different frequencies in terms of vibration. And so we have light that expresses on one part of the spectrum and sound in another. And it's interesting, there are certain sounds that as humans we may not be able to hear. It doesn't mean that they don't occur. The dog whistle is a good example of that, where dogs can hear that range, that a frequency that we don't hear. So there's a lot going on around us that we may not be intimately aware of. There, one of the ways to think about it is, you know, like you don't recognize the air currents, which is another vibrational activity, but you can watch a tree move to see that it's going on. So we have Mother Earth under the vibrational frequency of planets that are also rotating with it, a sun that sings. You can actually, they've identified the vibration, you know, in terms of musical tone of the sun, as well as of the earth for that matter. And what's talked about is the chorus of the stars. Whenever we talk about our universe, we're usually talking in harmonic language, in vibrational language, which I think is really interesting. And another example of how powerful the vibration is that is produced when we speak or when we have a verbal interaction is, you know, that trained soprano that can sing a high note and literally shatter a wine glass with the vibration, the pure vibration that comes from that note. Isn't that interesting, Steve?
It is so interesting. I may be dating myself, but you were making me think of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I mean, do you remember how fascinating that was, that they were these notes that, you know, I won't do it. I was just going to do my own impersonation of it, but I won't. You know, these sequences of notes that were setting up this communication between the extraterrestrials and the human beings. It was so beautiful. And then at one point in their conversation, and it was light and sound as a conversation, it just turned into this symphony. And I think I remember it even broke the glass of, you know, at this sort of station where they were all meeting. But I also find it interesting that we can think of sound and light as being, at least for human beings, able to be divided up into sevens. You think that we've got seven colors to the visible spectrum, and then we've got seven notes to an octave, which I find so interesting. So you think about light and sound actually I know combinations of notes create a song and combinations of colors create a picture, so that light and sound actually describe and define our experience for us. You know, they articulate it. I love that.
And I'm just going to take a note into a step into the esoteric for a moment. In the ageless wisdom tradition, you have the one life, which is this huge cosmic energy field that we're all part of, which expresses itself in three ways: the will to be, the will to good, the will to know, which then express in seven rays. So you have that number seven coming up again. It's interesting esoterically.
It's very interesting. And, you know, so many creation stories use sound, you know, as a way to create. They display that sound was the first, you know, in the beginning there was the word. And even if you think of the Om, when you spell the Om out, A-U-M, it actually is quite similar to ageless wisdom in that the A of the Om is the spirit. It's the life aspect. And the U of the Om provides this body through which the spirit occupies. And then the M provides the animation, like the energy that creates the activity. So again, you have these three principles of the Om that is supposedly in that creation story saying that all creation was manifest by this sound being uttered. So it's quite fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And if we carry on with the idea of the vibration of sound as a wave function, we have speech being that wave form that carries the vibration, and the vibration carries the information. And Steve, you were talking with me the other day about some fascinating work on DNA. Could you share that with our audience?
Oh, I would love to. It is fascinating. And I have to say, I've read, even since we spoke, I've read several articles about this, and boy, it's so complex, but it's interesting that we are really getting to this point where we're starting to understand DNA. And apparently, we understand we only understand 3% of all of our DNA, and they call 90% of the DNA junk DNA, over 90%. And what's interesting is people are starting to now come to understand aspects of this so-called junk DNA. And these Russian scientists have uncovered a way to modify DNA using sound waves. So DNA is actually, it mimics language. So it uses the same rules as language. It is a combination of codons. So there are so many codons, which would serve as in the same way that we use letters to create a word and words to create a sentence and sentences to create, you get it. DNA does the same thing. And they're finding out that these rules within the DNA follow the rules of our language completely, although really DNA came first. So it's almost as if DNA is the blueprint for the development of human speech and human language. It's so fascinating. So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is that these Russian scientists have altered DNA using vibration and language through modulated radio waves and light frequencies. But these radio waves are set up in the same way that words are set up, in that they are letters sequenced to hold information, and they've been able to modify the DNA using words. So in other words, they have created healing through words and phrases by using specific frequencies and radio waves that mimic language. So we know we've always said that words can heal, and they have actually brought about healing by using language and words. I find that just fascinating.
It is. It really is.
Yeah, and I think it's just beginning, right?
Well, and I wonder, you know, in terms of the whole tradition of esoteric healing, can't we say that you can have individual articulation, you know, the individual production of vibration that can have an impact on DNA or on a health condition? But wouldn't that be intensified when you have more than one through the resonance of many people speaking the same thing?
Beautiful. And I think harmony, right? Harmony is such an important word. Through esoteric healing, we are really trying to create harmony within the vibration of the body. And I think we all understand that harmony is beneficial. I mean, we think of harmony in terms of sound, and it sounds beautiful when people are being harmonious, but we think of harmony within our body. We can think of harmony within groups. It just really means that every part is working, in unison in a way that is cooperative with every other part, right?
Yeah, but I'd like to throw out an idea, which, when we talk about harmony, there are two different ways of having harmony, and I think it's interesting to reflect on them. One of them is called monophonic, where you have the main theme, yes?
Oh, I'm so sorry, but we're actually at a break time, and I want to hear about this. I want to go. I think harmony is such an important word. So
let's take a break.
Take a break and come right back and talk about that.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness meditation retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We had to go to a break, but Dorothy was just about to tell us some very interesting things about different types of harmony. Dorothy, you want to pick up where you left off?
Yes. Thank you, Steve. So there's what we think of as monophonic music, which is where you have a theme, and then you have support. So a lot of the music that popular music or music that we listen to, classical music, has this musical theme that stands out and people hum it and everything. And then everybody else is a support. So the focus is on the soloist. The other type of music is called polyphonic. And people who are familiar with like contrapuntal Baroque music, like fugues, will find this very familiar. This is where you have independent voices that intertwine in a harmonic way. So each of the lines of music is as important as every other line. You can't take any of the lines out without losing something substantive in the music. And I think that that's really interesting, Steve, to think about moving from what's more of a kind of unison to this idea that everybody has their own unique voice to add. So valuing the diversity that can come within the constraints of harmony.
It sounds like for the astrologers, the Aquarian age, you know, we talk about the round table as opposed to the head of the table, which was the Piscean age. And as you were describing that, I was imagining the round table where each part is an equal part of the whole. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And the other thing that you were talking about, Steve, that I'd love to have you bring up right now is you were talking about the impact of sound on refugee children, some of that research that's been done.
Yeah, yeah, really interesting article in The New Yorker, if anybody's got The New Yorker. And I even think you can get this article online. It was an article from Sweden. It's about these children who are called the apathetic ones. And these children are refugees who have grown up in Sweden. And a number of them have lived there for a while the country is processing allowing them in, granting them asylum. So from the beginning of the 2000s, they started noticing that these children were falling completely unconscious, almost spontaneously. And by 2005, there were over 400 of these cases. So this is not just a few, and it was totally, totally unique to Sweden. So the interesting thing is all of these children were refugees. And in the time that they had become sort of acclimated to their environment in Sweden, during that time, they found out that they were not going to be granted asylum, and they completely fell unconscious. They are totally passive. They're immobile. They're mute. They're unable to eat or drink. They don't react to any stimulus, meaning they could get pricked with a pin and they won't react. But yet their body is perfectly happy. Like, it's perfectly healthy. It is stable, but they're totally unconscious. And they found that if the families are granted asylum, that eventually these kids come out of this. They realized that in looking at this, that they all had this in common, that they weren't granted asylum. They reversed that, gave them asylum, and they found that what was making them come around was actually the sound of their mothers. Primarily, they said their mothers, but their parents discussing this new sort of arrangement that they were going to be able to stay in Sweden. So they highlight one child in particular, and friends would come in and say, "We miss you so much. Come back to school. We love you. Please wake up." And no response whatsoever. And it was when the parents actually started talking about the reality, the change in circumstances, that they picked up the vibration. And it was the sound of their voice that would actually trigger their consciousness to come back, you know, to wake up. So it wasn't only the words that people were saying, which was, you know, "Please wake up," and receiving the news, but it was actually being almost bathed in conversation and in a level of vibration that supported this, the truth of their situation being one that their consciousness could handle. I find it that so interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it reminds me of the research by the Japanese scientist Emoto on the impact of positive words and negative words on water crystals. That with the positive words, you see these beautifully formed water crystals being created. And when there were negative words being spoken or even thought, then this very distorted, kind of ugly water crystal was being formed.
Yeah, those are just fantastic examples of the power of words, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One thing just to bring up that I find is interesting about the Sweden story as well is it was unique to Sweden, and that they said that these children were raised in holistic cultures, in cultures where the group, they are very aware of being part of a group, and the idea of sort of being taken away from this group is what caused that distortion. So I find that even in the water, you know, even in the examples of words in relationship to water, it shows once again that we are all part of a larger system, and that every action, every word has its effect on the whole, you know, that we're completely interconnected.
That's true. And because of that, we need to be particularly mindful of the impact of negative thoughts, because it's not just something that's contained within ourselves. It's something that affects the entire world. So it's not just negative words saying negative or hateful things, but also the thoughts themselves.
Right. Indeed.
And the piece that I'd like to bring up, Steve, that is, it's emphasized over and over again in the Ageless Wisdom, and I think it's something that we don't discuss as much in our society, is the very negative role that criticism plays.
Yes.
And because oftentimes we think that we're kind of doing somebody a favor, you know, by giving them feedback on what they're doing, or that we have to be, quote, truthful as a way of justifying having said something that's very hurtful to somebody else. But actually, the way I think about it is I have no idea what somebody else's soul purpose is. I really have no idea where they are in terms of their own path, in terms of what their life issues are. And I have no right to comment unless they ask. If they ask for feedback, then that's one thing. And I know in my own personal relationship, if I want to give feedback to my partner, we've developed this habit that we always ask each other first, would you like some feedback? And the other person can say no or not right now.
Right. I like that. That sounds like a good practice. And once again, you know, we're really training ourselves how to relate to another, because I find often with criticism, you know, it's really just I feel the need to help you. it's really coming from my will. You know, it's really coming from almost a self-serving. There's a self-servedness to it that we often don't acknowledge within ourselves.
You know, we're also setting ourselves apart. You know, there's almost an implication of I'm better than you, but it is I'm separate from you, observing you, as opposed to we are all in this together. We are all part of the same energy field.
Well, I also think that, you know, when you say criticism, I love it, shows your huge heart, Dorothy, that when you talk about criticism, you're actually also talking about giving someone advice or you know, if they would like what was the word you used?
The feedback.
Feedback. Oh my gosh, that word just escaped me. But, you know, I find that in this day and age, criticism is often thrown around when we talk about idle chatter or gossip. You know, criticism has just become a way of life for so many people. We think of social media and the ways that criticism is used to build up one's sense of self. you know, that we see it that almost becoming second nature in our modern, you know, in this modern world. It's unfortunate. It's definitely unfortunate.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, there's that old saying, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, which we think of as being kind of outmoded. But there's some reality to that, because if you are not contributing in a positive way, in a way that supports the forward movement of the group, then you are tearing it apart. I mean, it's not neutral. What you say is not neutral. It has either a beneficial effect or it has a negative effect. And that applies to our thoughts, because just having, if I'm in a group and I'm feeling very critical of somebody, but I'm being good about it, you know, I'm not saying anything, but I'm thinking it, those thoughts themselves have an impact. And we've talked before about energy following thought. For our listeners, maybe people can think of examples where, for example, you've walked into a situation and you have immediately felt very uncomfortable, and it's because people were thinking negative things about you. Nobody was saying anything, but the energy was out there.
Right. So it really also becomes so much about observing ourselves and observing our thoughts, knowing that our thoughts often lead to words and have an impact, have a huge impact on others. So we're going to go to a break. When we come back, I'd love to just say a few words about criticism in the extreme, in the form of bullying, you know, because words really can harm, and bullying is such a topic these days. And I've got a few interesting things to say about that. So when we come back.
Excellent.
More on Right Speech.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanijo on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's Retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit saraluce.com. That's SaraLoos.com.
Want to help reduce the divisiveness in our world? Each year, the School for Esoteric Studies holds a subjective group conference. This year, our focus is on unity in diversity, the science of right human relations. From April till June, we will meditate together, study relevant writings, and share practical strategies for improving how we relate with each other. join us to help build inclusive communities. Check on our subjective group conference at esotericstudies.net. That's the School for Esoteric Studies at esotericstudies.net.
Hey, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Just before the break, Dorothy and I were talking about criticism, and it made me think about bullying. We hear so much about bullying these days, and I came across some interesting tips to parents whose children perhaps are on the receiving end of bullying. And I was thinking about speech and sound and its relationship to this advice. One thing they said was that parents should explain bullying truthfully. So I found that to be very interesting, that do you speak with truth is a very important aspect. And they said, don't respond with emotion. So you can imagine if you're a parent and your child is being bullied, you would probably right away sort of freak out and respond almost in a violent or a way that you would want to protect your child by sort of saying, I'm going to get that child. We're going to correct this. And they say that oftentimes parents' responses is almost as bullying or has that same vibration in the sound of their voice as the bullying itself, that they should respond with kindness and that they should always set an example by speaking kindly of others, even including the one who is bullying, that you will take care of it, but that to speak in a violent manner only supports that sort of vibration of bullying, and that you should let your child know that you will be there for them and follow through. So I found it interesting that even in that scenario, that speech has such a role. We think of kids being verbally abused and that the parents have to be aware of their speech and the way that they respond. I found that interesting, huh, Dorothy?
That's very interesting, yeah, because it is a dilemma, and it's a dilemma that adults are in as well, where you are tempted to respond to somebody else's negativity with negativity yourself without even realizing it sometimes. But I think, Steve, I'd just like to comment that part of, I think, why this happens is that there is so much violent imagery embedded in what we hear and read and talk about every day. And we've been very conscious at the School for Esoteric Studies about trying to rework some of the common mantras, for example, to take out that violent imagery. So, for example, one of the mantras has the line, I kill desire. So we've replaced that with, I move past desire. But there are a couple, you and I were brainstorming about this, and here are a couple of other very common imageries that people may not think about, like killing two birds with one stone, or beating a dead horse, or how many hits have you gotten on your website, or I'll give it my best shot, or many ways to skin a cat.
Oh,
these
yeah.
are all quite violent.
Very, very. And when we put that out there, we are putting out that vibration, indeed. And you even think of kids today who, when they're doing something really well, they say, I'm killing it. And and I think that it you know, in terms of bullying, when you are really surrounded by this sort of violent tone in language, and even think of video games in the way that the sound is actually matches the violent nature often of the video games, that we're sort of so ramped up, our adrenaline is so ramped up that you can understand how one might, you know, their actions follow that vibration. And so we've got to be very aware of what we expose our children to, what we expose ourselves to, and the words that somebody else might be using. If they say, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. There, why not say something along the lines of, I'm going to feed two birds with one hand.
Right. And so I'd like to put a challenge out to our listeners to, you know, over the next week to be listening for these kinds of phrases and thinking about how to change them. And I'd like to remind our listeners that you can email us and you can email us with examples or email us with questions that you may have or things you'd like us to address on the show. And Steve, could you give our listeners our email address?
Sure. Send any questions or comments to spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com. And we're going to be talking about right speech all month. So we'd love to hear your thoughts or any questions or topics that, you know, subtopics that you'd like to talk about within right speech. So, Dorothy, you know, before the show comes to an end, I'd love to leave our listeners with sort of a little test or a way that they can ask themselves, is this right speech? We've seen this throughout the ages. Socrates called it the test of three. And there are so many traditions that talk about these terms. Rumi himself said, before you speak, let your words pass through the three gates. And those are, is it truthful? Is it necessary? And is it kind? So before you speak, ask yourself this week, is what I'm saying truthful? Is it necessary to the situation? And is it kind?
That's great, Steve. I think a really good reminder to people and a really helpful way of starting to be more aware of what we contribute to the vibrational environment that we all live in.
Absolutely. I find an interesting fourth question was added to that by Sai Baba. He was an Indian guru at the turn of the century or just before the turn of the century. He asked, is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? And then he added a fourth question. Does it improve on silence? So I find that question so interesting. We all understand that, you know, it's nice when your words are truthful, when they've got a purpose, and when they are kind in nature, but do they improve on silence? So I know next week we're going to talk about silence. That's the theme of next week's show. So what's your take on that, Dorothy, when you would ask yourself, does what you're saying improve upon silence? What, want to take a stab at that?
Yeah, what comes to me, Steve, is that is what I'm going to say better than not saying anything at all?
Ah, I see. Dorothy, do you see that I just caught myself and I just said, do you want to take a stab at that? I didn't even try it.
Ooh, yes, and it slipped right by me, too.
I caught myself. Goodness gracious. Well, there you go. See, I always have to be watching myself and my words. But I see what you're saying. For me, it has something to do with does it improve on silence, meaning is it worthy of pondering? That can your words actually exist without causing a repercussion or somebody to respond or react in a manner that might not be, might not be beneficial or benevolent is sort of how I see it. You know, does it improve upon silence in that can your words actually allow for stillness as well? So I love that. And we're going to think on that all week. And then next week, come back and talk about silence. So it's an important part of right speech. Silence, it offers so much. Silence is golden, so they say.
Great talking with you, Steve.
Great, as always. I look forward to the rest of the month. And listeners, you can go to spiritfireradio.com and take a look at all of the topics here on Spirit Fire Radio all year long. Each month, we're going to spend 4 weeks on each topic, and each one builds upon the last. And so really by the end of the year, I think we're going to have really just a wonderful collection of discussions about ways in which you can use spirituality and use tools in everyday life to help you along your own personal path. So, Dorothy, I look forward to next week.
Me too.
And we'll be back with Show on Silence. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.